Father, we, Lord, humbly come into your presence this morning, God. Lord, thank you for those who are here this morning, God. God, I pray that you would speak, Lord. And Lord, that we would be receptive to the message, God, that you have for us, Father. Lord, I pray that you would have your way this morning, God. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to freely come and to fellowship and to worship you, God. Lord, because you are worthy of our worship, God. You are the only one that is worthy of our worship, Father. So, Lord, may us never let us take that for granted, God. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in our lives, Lord. God, we love you and we praise you this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, before you have a seat, I want you to welcome someone beside you. We are so glad that you are here this morning.
Getting way too used to crying.
You and me both. Amen. Well, good morning. We are so glad that you are here, that you took a few minutes out of your busy Labor Day weekend. I know you could be doing lots of things right now, but you chose, I would say, let me tell you this, most of you chose to be here. Some of you just got drug along because you're just visiting, all right? But we're so glad that you are here. If this is your first time to One Church, again, we want to say thank you for being here. And as we say every week, I can promise you that we are not a perfect church. There's going to be times that we let you down, but I can promise you, on the other hand, that we have the opportunity to serve a perfect God. So that is why we gather. That is why we come together this morning to worship the Lord. And we are so glad that you are here. Again, if this is your first time, we'd love to get some information from you and also just give you a gift and some information about who we are. So if you get a chance, there should be a visitor's card right there in front of you. If you could take just a moment and fill that out and then drop it either by the visitor's table or one of our offering boxes in the back, we would love to get to know you just a little bit better. Anybody excited to be here this morning? Hey, there's four or five of you, right? Hopefully that builds over the next few minutes. But we've been walking through a series, and we're going to be concluding it this week. My prayer is that this has been something that has challenged our faith. My prayer that this has been something that has been a blessing to your life, because I know it has been to me. I hope that your time has been worthwhile as we've been walking through and discovering exactly what the kingdom of God is in our lives. And in week one, several weeks ago, we saw that Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God. And his gospel includes the good news. And the good news is what God came through Jesus to do for you and I that we could never do for ourselves. To redeem us, to restore us, to give us an opportunity to be a new creation in Christ. And that we can walk that out, that God calls us children of his as we walk this journey out in the kingdom of God. And I love what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Many of us know that verse. It says that literally Jesus tells us, you know what? I want you to pray in this way. And he says, you know what? I want you to pray that my will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when you think about heaven, all the glories that we read about, all the things that we imagine heaven is going to be like Jesus literally says, you know what? If you want to be my follower, I want you to commit to praying. And my desire is that heaven just wouldn't be a reward whenever we die one day, that heaven would be a reward that changes our lives right here and right now as we walk this life out. And he says, I want you to pray that my will would be done in your life as it is already happening in heaven. In week two, we discovered that the values of God's kingdom differ radically from the values of this world. We see this play out all the time in our lives. We don't have to explain really in depth what that looks like, because many of us wrestle with that day in and day out, or have been there, done that, or whatever the situation is, that God's values and His kingdom, His desire for our lives looks much differently what this world wants to offer you and I. And then week three, last week, we saw that if we are going to live in the fullness of the kingdom of God, we must not only be able to understand the kingdom of God, but we must, first and foremost, commit our lives to the kingdom of God. And not only commit our lives to the kingdom of God, but we must consider the cost of living in the kingdom of God. And then lastly, we said, you know what, we must be able to communicate the kingdom of God to those around us. And this last week, we're going to be taking some time, and I'm excited about these next few minutes. How many of you would say that you have a good imagination? Maybe you're creative in your thinking. How many of you would say, you know what, I'm just a dud. I'm not creative whatsoever. That's probably more me, all right? You know, I'm not very creative at all. Or, you know, sometimes my imagination runs wild, but maybe not in the right places or whatever the situation is. But this morning, we're going to be looking at, and we're going to be thinking, and we're going to be dreaming, and we're going to be imagining what our lives would truly look like if heaven came down in our lives. Like, how would your life be different? What choices would you make differently if the kingdom of God was truly 100% all in your life? What would that look like for you? How would our world be different if we lived today under the lordship of Jesus Christ? And not just individually, but also how would our lives be different together as a church or a community? Because a kingdom is a community. And with God's help, we're going to take just a few minutes to answer that question just this morning. But here's where I want to ask you this morning. I want you to imagine with me. We're going to take just a moment to do this. You see, this is an important word, because in order to experience spiritual transformation in our lives, we must be able to see and believe that there is a new way to live. Jesus says that we are a new creation, that the old is gone and the new has come in our lives. Not at all does this mean that the kingdom of God is any imagination. It's not an imaginary thing. It's not a fantasy world or something that cannot be obtained, but it's looking past our current situations, our current circumstances, and looking to the cross and allowing the cross of Jesus Christ to transform our hearts and our minds so that we can see from God's perspective and living in the promises that God has given you and I. And living in the hope that Christ offers you and I here today, this morning. Before we dive in, can we just pray one more time? You guys okay with that? Father, I pray that you would have your way this morning in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would humble me in this moment. Father, Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, God, and I pray, Lord, that my words would be an edification to the body of Christ this morning, Father. Lord, I want to pray for so many other churches in town, God, that are gathering, Lord, as the gospel message is being proclaimed, Father. Lord, may you draw people to yourself. Lord, I want to pray this morning, Lord, if there's someone who does not know you, God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, God. Lord, I pray as your word speaks truth into their lives, God, I pray, Lord, that they would surrender all that they are, Father, and that they would be a new creation, Father. God, thank you for making a way for us to know our Creator God. Lord, thank you for today. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, Amen. When I think of the word imagine, it's kind of like one of those what if type of thinking. Maybe you've done that before, you know. Just imagine with me just for a moment, what if, all right, this happened, or what if I had this or that. You know, many times we see things, and many times as we do that, we know that, you know, that could never happen, but it's kind of fun to play along with it, so to speak. Kids love doing that, you know. Imagine, Dad, all right, this happened just the other day. One of my kids, I forgot who it was, like, you know, would you rather, like, be able to fly, or would you rather to be able to do this or do that, all right? It's one of those what-if things. We think about what it could be like, or we do this or we do that. But God's desire for you and I is sometimes we see as we think about praying, God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's kind of one of those what-if things. Like, that could never happen. Like, God, you don't know my life. You don't know me. You don't know my situation. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know this or you don't know that. And many times in our life, as God's saying, God just desires for us to lay that before him. And some of us this morning are carrying a heavy, heavy, heavy burden and a heavy load. And God desires for you to lay that down at his feet because he wants to carry it for you. But I love what John chapter 3, verse 3, we started this off a couple of weeks ago, and it just simply says, unless we are born again, unless we come to the point in our life to fully surrender our lives before God, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless our eyes have been opened to the truth of God's kingdom, we will continue to live in darkness. We will continue to be ruled by self and sin and hopelessness. In John chapter 3, Jesus talked about seeing the kingdom of God, and then he talked about entering the kingdom of God. And to be able to effectively see and enter God's kingdom in our day-to-day life requires a little bit of sanctified imagination. Now, that word sanctified literally means to be set apart or declared holy. I love what 1 Peter 1:14 says. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Verse 16 says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Sanctified also means to be free from sin or to be purified. And 1 John 1:9 says this. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So here's my question for you this morning. I want you to imagine with me just for a moment. What if you woke up tomorrow, Labor Day? Hopefully most of us are off work tomorrow. Give me an amen for that. For those who are working, I'm sorry. I really am. What if you woke up tomorrow morning to find that heaven had truly come to earth? Think about that for a minute. Like, all that you know of heaven, all the glory and all the riches and all the perfection and all the things, all the sorrow is gone. Like, what you view, what you know of heaven, just imagine with me just for a moment if it truly came and it dwelt on earth. Think about that. Now, here's the other kicker, okay? Life doesn't change for you. You still have the same job, all right? If you're a student, you're still a student. If you're a mom, you're still a mom. You still got to get up with that crying baby, or maybe there's not a crying baby in heaven. So here's the thing. Imagine with me just for a moment, how would your life be different? Think about that. How would your relationships change? How would your viewpoint and your thoughts about that person that you just love so much, that knows how to push your buttons, like how would that change in our lives? How would your life look differently if heaven truly came to earth? Think about that just for a moment. I I was reading a commentary, and there was a pastor who asked this same question to his congregation, and here's some of the responses. Maybe some of your responses might be, if heaven came to earth, sickness would turn into a strength. Heaven's nature would begin to alter the workings of the earth and wipe out the impure creations of mankind. God would be everywhere. God would give you advice, spend the day with you, make sure everyone was fed, and most importantly, share his wisdom with all of us. Someone else said that, you know what, no one would be lonelier without a companion. Someone else said, I would not feel that sense of silent discrimination for those who live in glass houses. We would not be the topic of whispers about a situation people truly know nothing about. We would not suffer judgment from those people with ample imperfections of their own. This little town would flourish with excitement, love, and joy. No one would have to suffer because in God's home, you can find everything you need. Famine would be completely erased. Sadness would be no more. Not one tear would be shed. The people on earth would be 100% stress-free. No one would ever need to worry about anything at all. They would laugh and carry on as if they had no sense of time and worry. Can anyone feel the hope rising in our midst even this morning? Here's the thing. Here's what Jesus says. I want you to pray. I want you to fervently pray that my will would be done in your life on earth as it is in heaven. You see, for some of us, we imagine. For some of us, it's a wishful thinking that, you know what, there's no way that God could work in my life that way. There's no way that God would give me the heart for that particular person. There's no way that God could transform this relationship. There's no way that God could get me out of this sin. There's no way that God could overcome this addiction in my life. And God says, you know what? I want you to pray because I want to do that in your life. So what would it look like? Because some of us are struggling, and some of us have been struggling for years, the same thing over and over and over and over again, from broken relationship to broken relationship, and we think this is all life has to offer, and we just can't wait to go to heaven where things are good. And God says, wait a minute here. My desire for you is that heaven would intervene in your life this morning. So how would your life be any different if heaven intervened in your life as God desires it to? You see, this question is an invitation to consider what our world would be like if God answered the prayer that we found in Matthew 6:10. Please hear me out. There are several things that only heaven can offer. There are some things that God's word talks about, the rewards that you and I store up for yourselves, treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves cannot come in and steal. And we all know very well that we live amongst brokenness, and some of us this morning are experiencing that, if we're going to be honest with ourselves. We're experiencing brokenness, and we're experiencing the effects of sin all around us and in our lives and in our choices. John Ortberg, one of my favorite authors, he says this, that salvation is less about getting you into heaven than getting heaven into you. You see, heaven does not get into us accidentally. We don't accidentally fall down the stairs and stand up as a radically changed person. It takes spiritual discipline to put God's word into practice. As we've been walking and talking about the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and just after when Jesus explains in Matthew 6:10 that we need to be fervently praying that his will would be done in our lives as it is in heaven. In verse 33, here's what he says. He says, seek first his kingdom. Pursue first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So the first thing that we saw there is Jesus says, you know, I want you to pray. And the second thing I want you to do is I want you to seek. Let me tell you, those are two things that you and I can do. We can pray and we can seek after the things of God in our lives. And Jesus says, I want that to be the first priority in your life. May you pray and may you pray and may you pray and you keep seeking and you keep seeking the things of God in your life because I want to be an overcomer in your life. I'm so ready for this thing to be off where I can use two hands. Some of you are like, you know what? I wish I had two of those, actually. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Did you hear that, folks? Let me read that again. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And here's where we're going to hunker down. Matthew chapter 7. Go ahead and turn there real quickly. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus is closing out his Sermon on the Mount as he's been teaching and preaching the people. Here's what he says. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. How many of you have heard this story before? How many of you, I've heard this like 5, 10, 15, 20, 30. Like I've, a very popular verse here. For those who put this into practice, it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Here's what Jesus is saying. I want you to imagine with me just for a moment. I want you to imagine with me, you know what? Those who put the words that I speak, those who follow and put the things of Christ first in their life, I want you to imagine with me just for a moment that there's this man, he's building a house. And this one man, he's putting the practices of Jesus in his life. Here's what it's like. It's like a man, imagine with me, it's like a man who builds his house on a firm foundation. He builds his house on the rock. And then he keeps going. Verse 25, it says, the rain came down. Here comes those storms of life. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Any of you feel beat up this morning? You're tired. You're hurt. Beat against that house, yet, here we go, yet it did not fall. It did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. And then he flips to the other side. I want you to imagine with me on this situation. But everyone who hears, they both hear the word. They both hear the teachings of Jesus, the truth of Jesus. And in verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The same situation, verse 27, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I think it would be safe to say that almost everyone wants to build their house on the rock. No one wants to have their life's work come crashing down around them. I've never heard anybody say, man, like I just can't wait for my life to implode. I can't wait for something bad to happen. Some of us expect it to happen because that's all that's taking place in our lives. But some of us would never say, you know what, I just want my life to be worthless. Like that's my goal in life. No, each and every one of us, as human beings, God has put in our hearts a sense of purpose and a sense of meaning, but that can only be found as we enter into the kingdom of God, and that's where God gives, and that's where God desires for us to be, because God's word says, as we looked in week two, that we are either A, living in the kingdom of darkness, or B, we are living in the kingdom of light and the kingdom of God in our lives. But here's the important question we must ask about this parable. What is the rock in which this house was built upon? Many of us might answer quickly, well, Jesus is the rock. And there are many things all through Scripture that specify, yes, Jesus is our firm foundation, that yes, Jesus is our rock, but that would not be the right answer in this context. Maybe this morning some of us would say, you know what, the right answer would be the Word of God, and that would be a very, very good answer. But in this case, it's not the right answer either. So what is the rock in this story that Jesus tells us about? I want you to look closely at verse 24. We're going to read that again. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine, and if you're one of those that likes to take notes or to scribble in your Bible or to highlight, I want you to highlight this, and puts them into practice. Another word would be to walk in obedience to the Word of God. And then he says, you know what? That would be like a man who built his house on a rock, and when the storms of life came and beat, and the winds and the waves and all of those things, that is what was able to sustain in that person's life, is because they had been walking in obedience to the Word of God. I did some studying on this week, and this has really challenged me in my life, because I started thinking about a rock and sand. They're both rock. Did you know that? Like, sand is just minute, very small. You guys knew that already. Maybe I didn't, okay? And as I started thinking about, you know what? Build his house on the rock. How many times in our lives have we tried to build our lives on anything but the things of Christ? We might believe that, yes, Jesus is the rock and Jesus is the foundation and the gospel is the foundation in our lives. But Jesus said, here's the thing, it has to go from just the thought, and I want you to put it into practice. I want you to follow in obedience to the teachings and the Word of God. Then it's like a man, a wise man or a wise woman who built their life on the foundation of Jesus, and when the storms of life came, then they were able to withstand. You see, here's how I want to do my life sometimes. Jesus, I want you to be my rock, and I want to go do what I want to. I want to build my life on your firm foundation, all right? But I'm going to make my own choices of what I do with my life. And then when the storms of life come, even as Christ followers, we wonder and we doubt of God's goodness and God's faithfulness, because you and I have not been practicing putting into our lives the obedience to Jesus Christ. That's happened in my life. I got to be honest with you. Notice that Jesus does not demand complete and perfect obedience. No, he says practice. I love this. He says practice. He invites us to try to put his words into effect. I've heard it said that, you know, perfect practice makes perfect play. We've heard that before, which is not really the way it works particularly. I guess that would be a good thing. But there's going to be times as we practice putting the things of Jesus in our lives and walking in obedience, that you and I, we are going to stumble and we are going to fall and we are going to make some bad choices. Our mind is going to wander, and those things are going to take place in our lives. But as we continue to walk in obedience, walk in faithfulness to the things of God, day by day by day by day, the sanctification process takes place in our lives, because Jesus, day by day by day, is making us more like Him. And that thing that you might have struggled with 2 years ago, but you've been walking in obedience to the Word of God since then, it's not so much of a struggle. It's not because of what you have done, but it's the power of Christ reflecting and working in and through your life and my life. It's us continuing to build upon what Jesus has set as the foundation. But I feel like so many of us, and even my life, and I feel like the church is getting to a point where it's becoming ineffective. Is it because God changes? Absolutely not, because His Word says that I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we have to ask the question, imagine with me just for a second, what is going on? Why do we look around the church and we continue to stumble and fall in the same sins that the world does? Why is it that the divorce rate is the same within the church than outside the world? God says that you and I who are in Christ, if we act in obedience, if we follow in obedience to the Word of God, that we should look differently than the world. So let me ask you a question this morning. Does your life look any different than the world? And God has challenged me this week, because there are still areas in my life I still struggle with. And some of them are just selfish that I just don't want to give up. Anybody been there before? There's situations in your life where maybe you don't trust God fully in that area of your life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, says about the Sermon on the Mount, "This great sermon of Jesus is all about living in God's kingdom in the here and now. The Lord's instructions to us reveal the values of God's kingdom and the practices of His kingdom citizens." He says, Jesus is teaching us a new way to live in a new kingdom, living in God's kingdom. Jesus says, I want you to put it into practice. It's time for you and for I to take what we know, to take what we believe, and to put it into practice in your life. He doesn't say walk in perfection. He just says, I want you to give it a shot. I want you to give it a try. I want you to walk. I want you to give it a shot. Imagine with me what our lives would be like if we walked in obedience in all areas of our lives. God's wanting to restore. God's wanting to redeem. God's wanting to make new. God's wanting to transform. God's wanting to give Himself fully to you so that He can fill your life even in the midst of a bad situation that sometimes is out of our control. But God says, you know what? I want you. I want you personally. I want you to walk in the practices of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you. And I know many times we want others to walk with us. And man, that is a hard thing. That is such a hard thing. And we pray that God would move in a situation and soften and break a heart for those that we love dearly, because we know they are making decisions and choices that don't honor God, and we know where that's headed. And many times, even as Christ followers, we get blinded to the truth because we are so, as the person this past week, we talked about the man who was plowing, all right? And he started looking back. And his field got all messed up because he was looking back and desiring the things of the world. And Jesus says, it can't be that way. I'm going to ask Wesley if you would come back up real quick, bud. put it into practice. Maybe this morning you say, you know what? I'm awake. Man, that was nice. That was really nice. Now that you are awake, because some of you, I saw you out there, okay? If this one was feeling good, I would have come after you. You see, we talk about the kingdom of God. And for some of us this morning sitting here right now, that is just wishful thinking. Man, I wish my life could be that. Let's just call it what it is. Let's just be honest. But Brandon, you don't know what I've been through. But Brandon, you don't know where I've been. And let's get a little more serious. You don't know who I live with. You don't know the trials that I go through. You don't understand some of the addictions that I just can't give up. Like in my own strength, I've tried and I continue to be back right where I've started. And I am so fed up. And I am so tired. I just want to speak truth from God's word. John 3:3. Maybe this is where you're at. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, that is the entry point. Jesus says, I am the way. There is no other way under heaven by which we should be saved. Like God has made a way for you and for I through Christ on the cross, who wants to bear all that you have done and all that you will do and make you a new creation and make you more like Christ. But there has to be a point in our lives. It has to go from head knowledge to heart knowledge. God has to change us. We know when this happens. And maybe this morning you're thinking, you know, I'm not sure there's ever been a time in my life where this has taken place. Like I know about it, but I'm not really sure. God has just changed me from the inside. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to nail it down. Like, God, if I don't know you, God, if you have not transformed me, I want to be a new creation. I want to surrender all that I am, and I believe what you have done on the cross. I believe you have been risen from the dead. God's word says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you're saying, I've been here the last couple of weeks, and I want that. I want to see that because I've never experienced the kingdom of God in my life. So I'm going to ask you just real quick, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask those of you who are just not sure. Like you look at your life and you look at God's word and you're doubting. I'm going to ask you in the boldness of where you're sitting, if you would say, Brandon, you know what? I'm not sure. But I want to nail it down and I want to be sure. I want you to raise your hand real quickly. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Maybe this morning you'll say, Brennan, I know. I know there's never been a point in my life where I have gone from death to life. I've never had a point. And I want to confirm that. I want to solidify that this morning. I'm tired of doing it on my own. And if that's you this morning, I want you to boldly raise your hand. Amen. Jesus is telling us even this morning, church, it's time to walk in obedience. Church, it's time to set aside the things that you continually stumble upon and stumble over and fall. It's time, church. As Paul said, he says in the New Testament, it's time to get off the baby milk, and it's time to grow in our walk with Christ. It's time to walk in obedience. It's time to put it into practice. And as we put that into practice, our lives will be solidified by the firmness of who God is, and then our lives will be on a firm foundation, so when the storms come, and they will come, that we will be able to withstand. And because we are able to be able to stand in the things of life, we will have a testimony to proclaim the goodness and the faithfulness of God working in our lives. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength. I pray that you would give us the boldness. God, I pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith. Lord, there's so many times my faith is so weak, God. Lord, I pray that we would be people of prayer. Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I pray that would be a prayer that we pray every day. God, use me. Lord, use us to build your kingdom. God, thank you for today, Lord. I pray as we leave this place in just a moment, God, I pray that we would be encouraged by your word, and that would reflect the choices that we make starting today, God. Take our lives and let it be. God, thank you, Father, for who you are. And all God's people said, amen.